Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Summer is upon us, and you know what that means, lots of tropical cocktails. So, I will focus for the next couple of months, like I did last summer, on bartenders who specialize in these kinds of drinks, tropical, tiki, etc. What's the etc.? Well, we'll find out over the course of the next couple of months. It's Mo's tropical summer, so get ready for an exotic getaway of the cocktail variety via the Music and Booze with Mo podcast. As we continue our tropical summer, we go to Atlanta to talk to Ian Jones of the SOS Tiki Bar. When we did this interview, which was quite some time ago, there were only two places for tiki in the Atlanta area. That would be Trader Vic's and the SOS Bar. Now there are a couple more, Tiki Aniki and Tiki Tango. There's even a weekender that started up in the spring called Inuele Weekender. I think I'm saying that right. Anyway, Atlanta's developing a bit of a scene, and all within the last couple of years. But when we did this interview, there was only SOS Bar and Trader Vic's. So you'll hear us mention that. Just wanted to let you know that now we're aware things have changed. But let's get down into the SOS Bar with Ian, because it's a pretty darn funny interview. Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, you have to tell people who you are.
Oh, okay.
They need to know.
I'm Ian Jones, and I own SOS Tiki Bar.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, it's
so
a good time.
Tell me about tiki in Georgia.
Oh, well...
Because SOS is in Decatur, technically.
Decatur,
it's not
yeah.
Atlanta.
But
it's just outside.
It's a burb. It's like an inside burb. Mm-hmm. It's like Liechtenstein. For Atlanta.
So before that, all you had was Trader Vic's?
All there is Trader Vic's.
Which is fine.
It's beautiful. It's
beautiful.
It's not the most sterling example of Trader Vic's in the country.
Well, there's only two left in this country, huh?
Yes.
That and Emeryville.
Yeah, the one in California, great. Beautiful. Atlanta is a bit of a forgotten convention center thing.
Yeah, because it's in the midst of all those hotels, right?
Correct,
it's,
yeah. But when people come to town, we definitely tour them through.
Yeah,
but it's
you have to.
It's a quick stop. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a quick one.
So when you guys opened up
SOS, was that your intention? Was like, we're going to get back into the tiki thing? Or
We had previously been another cocktail bar in the same location called Paper Plane.
Okay.
Which was, you know, decent notoriety, but it was a bit of a skewed launch. So,
Rebranding?
Yeah, well, it was a cocktail bar, but a schmancy restaurant, but all of that with only 5 tables. It didn't jive, so people... Okay. People wanted to drink, but then people wanted to sit down and eat for 3 hours.
And that is difficult as a business person.
Correct. And it shares a wall with one of our other more boisterous bars. And it was a big juxtaposition, whereas obviously going from like a one kind of loud bar into an even louder tiki bar works just great.
So do you guys serve food at all? I have yet to go to SOS. I would love to go one day.
We have a pop-up in SOS that's a really great sort of esoteric local young buck chef guy in Atlanta.
Cool.
And so Pryor was doing a thing called Eat Me, Speak Me. So it's SOS.
Eat Me, Speak Me.
And if you want the food, it's Eat Me, Speak Me.
So. Does he serve lemon chicken? Isn't that like the thing?
It actually would really down out many people expecting Polynesian fare.
Yeah.
It's completely opposite.
I'll go to the strip clubs for that.
Yeah, it's like young, kind of like hip, small plates. They're very interesting, and it's really great. Mm-hmm. But it's a totally
there's still a
different
touch
dynamic.
Of food. But really, you're doing a tiki thing. You changed it over, and you went for tiki. So what made you go for tiki?
Well, like, as we just mentioned, there's no tiki bars in Atlanta, so it's good in that way. Mm-hmm. We had just finished doing a pretty staid, noted but staid cocktail concept, and we were just getting very over the snoot of it, and we thought the other side of it is just a lot more fun, and we're like, what's the most fun kind of cocktail, kind of bar you can do? Mm-hmm. Oh, let's do a tiki bar and just party all the time.
Tell me why tiki cocktails, tiki bar, why is that fun? And I only say this because that comes up all the time. Oh. People are like, oh, we wanted to tiki because we wanted to have fun. I agree with you.
Right.
But you said snooty, so I'm wondering why that is.
I don't think that it takes itself super seriously in a quote-unquote craft sort of tradition. There's secrecy and there's like these lore and all this stuff.
Yeah. But despite the fact that they are the first craft cocktails.
Correct. And that's sort of what we were leading with when we would tell people, like, why are you doing tiki? You'd say, oh, well, I mean, if you really think about it, the first people to like use, like, really get into like fresh juice or mixing 20
making
plus ingredients,
syrups.
Making their own syrups. Mm-hmm. So it's fun in that way because it can satisfy the itch for young people that are wanting to get into that scene and make those kind of drinks. Mm-hmm. But it's fun for another way because you get to take the piss out of everybody else that's really, you know, wearing arm garters and mustaches and shit.
Well, what's your
background? I'm going to get in trouble for that one, by the way.
You know what, though? It's said almost every single time. It's fine. I think I read some article like a year or so ago. It's like, is the craft cocktail dead? And the comment was made that, is it dead only because at this point, that mentality, since it's been around for like 10, 15 years, the revival has saturated everything.
Yeah, it's not dead.
It's not new anymore.
It's just ubiquitous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can go into a dive bar and they're like, oh, we make a craft cocktail. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when I got started bartending, no one had lists of drinks to put out in front of people. And now everyone, any of my bars is 90% the drinks come off the list. No one even calls for any random other drink.
That's very interesting because I've had other friends who say like, yes, you go into a bar and you can give them a menu, but you will have people ordering old fashions and Moscow mules, and then the long tail will be stuff from that menu.
Oh, no.
But
it depends on where you are.
Yeah, that's true. So let's go back into your bartending history then.
Sure.
Yeah. Roll back as much as you can remember.
It's not illustrious. Not even slightly illustrious.
But it's taken you to this point where you own your own bar, and it's a tiki bar, and it's a fun bar, and it's gotten you some notoriety. So you did something right along the way.
It's killer. We really enjoy it. I've worked in all sorts of everything from being a teenager until now. Mm-hmm. And we opened a bar 7 years. 7 years ago. I have an anniversary party. I'm flying back to you on Sunday.
That's SOS why I SOS is the seventh anniversary?
Victory Brands, which is our kind of parent company.
Okay.
So we do this place called Victory. Mm-hmm. And I opened that with another friend of mine who was a bartender, and we just thought we'd be broke bartenders working for ourselves.
And then it actually worked out.
Well, things. snowballed in a great way.
Yeah, snowballed into the you haven't slept in about 10 years.
Yeah, things have really grown. It's crazy.
Well, let's roll back to your cocktail history when you got started, because everyone has to start somewhere.
Sure.
So you were starting a hotel bar, dive bar, whatever it was.
You know, I mean, you start in all sorts of places. There's a running gag about the amount of places I worked at with the people that work with me. About how I've been fired from the best and the worst places.
You pulled what you needed from those places.
Yeah, chain restaurants into like...
Oh my God, tell me some of the chain restaurants.
Let's see, I worked at...
Please let them be like TGIF or something.
Oh, my first job was that I worked at a Little Caesars inside of a Kmart.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah,
got fired from that.
And you got fired from a Little Caesars in a Kmart.
Yeah. The highlight.
I'm actually very proud of you to hear that.
I'll go, and then it's just up, you know. you name it, I've done it. But that's pretty funny. I worked for this company in Atlanta at this one place early 2000s called the Food Studio, where I was a waiter and sometimes a bartender, and they had a really great culture of education and learning, and they had it's the first place I worked at where people made it seem like, you know, this is a career, you know, kind of almost I always kind of say with our staff, a pseudo-European model. Like, if you're in a small town in Italy and your parents own a great little village restaurant, you're going to go work in that restaurant, and no one's belittling that industry or what that is as a career, because it's a livelihood and it's a, and for me, it's a great community. It's really fun. So that was the intro, and then, you know, it did terrible nightclubs, so I went... Did fine dining, volume nightclubs.
Yeah. And then really all of it.
Yeah, and then we've been slowly, when we did our first place, it was a reaction of like, where would we want to work? We were working for all these people doing all these things we hated, for mostly customers we didn't like.
What do we do that like, fuck all those people?
100%. 100% that.
You know, fuck that nightclub, fuck that high volume. I'm not going to pour an and drink.
Yeah, it was where can we go that we can... make what we want to make and listen to what we want to listen to and, you know, be idiots. And then that was one little place that luckily took, and then we've grown and added places and grown over time.
Awesome. And so, well, you said listen to what we want to listen to, and since this is music and booze, I'm going to have to say, when you say listen to what we want to listen to, were you guys like, oh my God, I really want to play hip-hop in my bar, or I need to have some metal in this bar? Or,
It was all over.
All of the above?
It's all over.
You're just like, we can play our indie rock, we can play our this.
I'll give credit to my business partner. He personally like builds every playlist that we do
for
our stores. And actually, if people are interested, you can usually search them on Spotify. And there are many thousands of songs.
Here, plug it. Plug it. We're recording.
You can look up, our victory playlist, which is a lot of garage rock and old rock and roll and, you know, anything from Velvet Underground, a Spoon, and in between. You can find those at, I think, Victory. Just start Googling Victory playlists or whatever, searching them, you'll find those. SOS, same deal. We have multiple levels. We have like an Exotica playlist, and we have like a little more upbeat sort of anywhere from sort of Clash, pseudo Caribbean Clash stuff to
very into the whole.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamaican, so, you know, all that kind of stuff.
We're not as, you know, we're not super beholden to very specific time period, you know, like we're not creating a time capsule of our tiki bar.
Well, it's something I've discussed with people too, is, you know, it's with tiki, if you're going to open a classic tiki bar and operate as if it's 1935, then you do it that way. But there has to be innovation if this is going to continue to exist.
Sure.
You know, it can't totally be a time capsule all the time. And then you have to also be aware of the fact that you've got people coming in on a Saturday night who don't want to fall asleep to Exotica.
Well,
because Exotica
is
wonderful and I love it. But some nights it's not.
Well, some friends of ours that own places, they refer to it as like they want to be a full escapist, like
full
very
escapist.
Much a thing, which is beautiful and it's great. And I love that. We're just not really tuned for that. But also, you know, my personal sort of ethos and my value for bar stuff is
there was a hair on the shoulder. I just plucked it away.
It's fair. It's fair. We just, you know, I would much rather someone have a great time and have a fun experience with their bartender. I want the drinks to be killer and on point, but I don't want that to be at the sacrifice of losing like traditional what you go to a bar for,
yeah.
to hang out
yeah.
And,
yeah.
and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to be conversational and not just be some quiet, like, drink nerd. It's
yeah,
no fun.
It's hard to have, if you're owning a bar, you need it at the end of the day to be a neighborhood bar, I think, because that's your bread and butter,
yeah.
right? The destination stuff you can't rely on to pay the rent.
Sure.
But you obviously want those folks coming back. So when you guys do, so your play is the SOS, since that's a tiki bar.
Sure.
What do you dabble in over there? What kind of fun do you guys have?
We're all
it?
Over. We're vintage. We're Caribbean. We'll even do some oddball, like vintage, you know, Moroccan type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Anything exotic, basically.
Yeah. Anything that, you know, people, they get it.
Yeah.
It's like, I get this. This is something I would hear at a tiki bar, on a beach, on a cruise, mm-hmm. You know, in the south of France, on the beach, you know, anything kind of like that.
Well, if you had your druthers, and, you know, you're just in there, and you're like, you know what, it's me, I don't give a shit what's going on with everybody around me, I'm going to play whatever the fuck I want right now. And you're making your tiki drinks at SOS, and you're playing your music, what would it be?
Oh, I'm punk rock, so I would be listening to The Clash the whole time.
I think Clash works, personally.
Yeah, I think it works
it
great.
It totally works. I mean, you've got the really yeah. fast, like the Janie Jones 2-second
yeah,
stuff, but
exactly.
as you go on, because they pulled so much dub into everything.
Right. Or Desmond Dekker and stuff like that.
So you're like, yeah, let's do some ska and some punk.
Yeah.
That whole, that
I mean, that's just, I'm very upbeat, so I have to. You know,
a good friend of mine that works at Trader Sam's at Disneyland over in on the West Coast.
Sure.
Total old school ska guy. So, you know, yeah. whenever we get our stuff together, I'm just like, I got some Al Capone for you.
Oh, perfect.
You know?
Yeah. When
here's our Prince Buster.
When I was, yeah. We had a right. drink, we had a drink named the Prince Buster on our menu.
Oh, that's wonderful. So. Did you guys have any other musically attuned cocktails?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
But you're like, you just said Prince Buster? What was what was in the Prince Buster? Do you remember?
No. Here's the other thing is we just are making too many drinks all the time. Not too many,
yeah.
but it's a lot to remember. It's, you know, once a quarter coming up with all new drinks. And it's like some places
yeah,
don't do it that
say,
often.
Yeah, I was going to say, how often do you guys change your menu out? So quarterly.
Quarterly, and SOS is obviously a big feature, but, you know, we have three other bars and we do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I get very mixed up. It's, you know,
yeah,
50
yeah.
drinks a quarter. It's
well,
pretty wild.
Do you have someone running your beverage program at each bar and you just go in there and kind of oversee that or?
Well, we have a bar manager at a bar. The bar manager at SOS is Ian Bancroft mm-hmm. and he's been doing a bang up job.
All
he's
Ian's.
Killer. Too many Ians for that matter. That's why I just stay out of that place. I'm gonna be confused. No, I'm just kidding around. I love there. But he's doing an amazing job and is really infusing it with just a really great culture mm-hmm. and really killer vibes. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a pleasant, outgoing dude that's really taken to it.
How long has SOS been open? Again, you're having your
anniversary?
2 years. 2 years now?
SOS is officially almost 3 years.
Wow. Because I heard of you guys like almost immediately. Yeah. I have cosplay friends. They go to WonderCon. I'm like,
perfect.
You got to go to this SOS bar. It's a little outside of town, but go.
Oh, we get all the con folks. There are multi-cons through Atlanta.
Yeah. wait, did I say WonderCon? I meant DragonCon. But you know.
There's
like,
another, yeah,
the
there's
super
another
nerd-con.
One as well. And,
jeez.
Yeah.
The ones with all the people who dress up like
yeah.
the movies.
Yeah, we get them all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like a big anime con.
Oh, God, yeah. So all of that. So, yeah, why is Atlanta so big for that?
Well, it's a giant airport, convention town, giant convention centers.
I guess so. So that serves some purpose for you. So let's go back to Tiki and how did you yourself, what was your awakening in that Tiki world? Considering there was just Trader Vic's here and you've lived in Atlanta for a long time.
Well, personally, whenever I go any other town, I don't really flock to like the newest, greatest, whatever mm-hmm. just open fancy restaurant. I try and find the places that have been around as long mm-hmm. as they can.
They have character.
They have character, and it might not be the finest of this or that, but I'd rather see that and kind of see where that town's come from, or also experience something.
The history.
Yeah, the history of something that may or may not last. It isn't. Might be to a trend that has lasted, or Tiki is like come and gone and hidden and stayed strong.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, new and flash in the pan's a flash in the pan everywhere. And
I live in LA. You don't need to tell me about flash in the pan.
Some, you know, fancy avocado restaurant in LA is the same thing as some shit in Atlanta. It's going to be the exact same thing.
Yeah.
If I go to LA, I want to go
I love that you said avocado restaurant, because yeah. You're so right. You're so right.
You know, I want to go to a place that's been around for 50, 60 years yeah. and see what's going on. And it works out that tiki bars, oftentimes ones that have been around in certain cities are there.
They've stayed, yeah.
Yeah, I randomly was doing, still bartending, but I was also doing some contract work with this company. And as an engineer person, mm-hmm. and ended up in Great Falls, Montana, and randomly went to the Sip and Dip Lounge. Mm-hmm. This is, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And first off, loved it, because I was searched out with all these dudes I was with, these like builder dudes that were,
yeah.
We need to go to these places. Sip and Dip Lounge, there's a place called Eddie's Supper Club up there that was amazing, vintage sort of
It's just
restaurant.
Been there forever.
Unfortunately, just closed. I was really super bummed about it. but had a killer time and where I didn't expect to at all. And Sip and Dip was amazing. They were here last year at the Hooky Lau.
Oh.
And I got to go, hey, I've been to your mermaid show and I've seen your 1,000-year-old organ player jamming like...
jamming in a Gala
yeah,
de Vida.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
We do rock and roll. It's Johnny, Iron Butterfly.
Yeah, Johnny Cash covers on the organ, mumbling the words and asking for another like pina colada. I love it.
And you were like, and this is the charm, and you wanted to bring some of that.
Oh, I 100% want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's killer.
So there's like, God, I hope when I die that my grandchildren will still run the SOS bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully. It's really been great, and it's been...
So you were charmed by tiki and the old aesthetic of tiki, it sounds like, and everything.
Yeah, I do appreciate the escapism, but it's also that it seems like it's a pretty real deal. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot of... There's decorative artifice in terms of the experience and the whatever, but the people in it, everybody's pretty real deal. Everybody's really cool. There's not a lot of bullshit attitude. There's not a lot of...
It is a pretty cool crowd.
It's a very easygoing group. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got a bunch of, like, folks sitting around, like, you know, big baggy Aloha shirts. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's taking anybody too seriously. Everybody's having a good time.
There's a little less judgment and everything.
Yeah.
So this is what you want to contribute to Atlanta. Since you've been living there, and you're like, let's bring some Aloha spirit here.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, let's get back to the music thing.
Sure.
So if you are, we're being teased right now by the guy who runs the Hooky Lab, but he knows what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
In terms of the music and everything, so you went to those old places, and that was very vintage music and everything. And so you know that in your spot, you were like, I'm punk rock. I got to do this.
I just think that it was we wanted to reflect our energy. Yeah.
And guess what? Rums are from Jamaica, from Barbados,
all over.
And that those things took a heavy influence in the 80s, especially like the Clash and the Specials and
exactly.
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that you're just like, we can work this.
100%.
Guitar thing and the like garage rock that rolls
yeah
in there.
And like I said, my shout out to Caleb Wheelis, my business partner, mm-hmm. who's in a past life a DJ and just has probably 7,000 records. He does a killer job putting it together and is very much like a garage rock kind of guy.
He loves the OCs, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, because that to me, that totally works.
Tons. We don't often mess with DJs when we do. Most of them come in playing 45s and 7-inches, and we just kind of...
It's a special, like, themed kind of night. It's like a soul night or
a ska night. Yeah, there's just so many killer B-sides to some kind of rambunctious, like, you know, R&B and some Detroit
stuff. Have
sound
you ever
stuff.
DJed or anything? Yourself?
A horrible iPod DJ. All of my DJing is directly tied to musical puns. When someone says something and I'm just like, oh, that makes me think of this. And I just play the song,
you know,
and everybody's
though?
Like, that's the worst thing.
That is
do.
A skill.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing. Mm-hmm. That is a skill unto itself, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm someone, if you threw me onto a game show and asked me a question, I would just be like, what? But it sounds like you can respond quickly. two
yeah,
things.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. It's bad. It's not good at all. I think my girlfriend just discovered the joy of the Instapot pressure cooker, and she was saying something, and I know there's like this song that from the band that I used to like listen to called Pressure Cooker, and I immediately called it up on my Sonos and blasted it throughout the house. And she's like, "Oh, I get it. I get it." Dead-eyed understanding.
That's
that it's
love.
A terrible
You're gonna
joke.
Have to keep
yeah.
her. You have oh, to keep yeah. her. If you're going to pull off those jokes.
I was told a long time ago to stay with the one that tolerates you the most.
It's true. It's true. And she's like, you're just like, I tell a lot of bad jokes, and if you laugh, I'll be here forever.
Yeah. I'm a new dad, but I've been dad joking for a decade.
You had to warm up to it. I mean, yeah. You knew that was going to happen for
I
you
had the humor.
Day.
I was born so with the go. Humor for it, so, it's terrible.
I love it. Well, I'm obviously a fan of dad jokes. So yeah. I'm in there. My dad was a science teacher. You can only imagine. I was brought up on Star Trek. You can imagine the 100%. Level of dad jokes that I was listening to growing up. So that's why I laugh at just about anything.
Like I said, our larger company is called Victory Brands, and there's just like this is the Victory groan. It's just like the one that you hear from everybody whenever some bad joke just lands completely flat, and everybody just is like, ugh.
Well, so for you at home, what are you listening to when you're drinking?
Oh, I have terrible taste in music. It's the worst, but it's also the best.
Well, that's why I want to know. Because, see, you say that, but every podcast, anyone who listens to this regularly will know every time I say there is no guilty pleasure, because if you like it, you shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Oh, I feel guilty about nothing.
Okay, well, then tell me. I don't know why you have to preface it by saying it's terrible.
Well, I'm just saying it is.
I'm someone who appreciates dad jokes.
Yeah, very fair. Unironically, my favorite band in the world is Van Halen.
Unironically, my favorite band in the world is Duran Duran.
Oh, fair.
So
fair.
We're friends.
But then there's people always try and start the battle with me of like, do you like
the Van Hagar versus Van
Halen? The Hagar, yeah.
The blonde that destroyed the band and blah blah.
Yeah, exactly. Where I gotta say, like, unfortunately, I think this might belie my age a little bit, but my introduction to Van Halen was 5150, so I'm fine with Hagar.
Here's the thing, I had this conversation with someone recently because we were talking about when a band loses a major member. If they try to replace them, if they continue making new music, do they just become a cover band of themselves? You know, it's like at some point they pull someone in, then they don't record any new music, et cetera, et cetera. And I tend to think, well, if someone in that band dies, if their main guitarist dies, if their lead singer dies or quits because acrimonious, whatever.
Sure.
And they don't do anything new after that. They're a cover band of themselves.
That's very fair. That makes perfect sense.
But Van Halen is one of those bands where I was like, Van Halen successfully carried on.
Well, for the most part. There is a cutoff point for me.
But it's after Hagar.
Yeah, it's the Sharon cutoff.
There.
Although I'm not going to lie, I don't mind Extreme. I just don't want to see my Extreme maximum Van Halen.
But yeah, so it's something where, you know, like you're saying, people are just, no, it's all David Lee Roth. And people are like, oh, but I love Van Halen, you know, Sammy Hagar. Sammy Hagar was a name when he got pulled into that.
The Red
that
Rocker, man.
Kind of a big deal.
There's two sides.
That's drive
it's beautiful, but
huh?
Just too fast.
He just couldn't.
The beautiful two sides of it is there's two Van Halens for you. If you want a party, you've got David Lee Roth, and it's all like, whoa, party.
Oh yeah.
And if you want to love something, then you got Van Halen.
You got Hagar.
Because every other song is like love in the title.
That's true.
Check it out, everybody. Go look at your 5150 album. See how many songs they love. Yeah. Hagar's a lover, man.
Yeah, he is a lover, not a fighter. Yeah. That's why he drives so fast, because he's passionate.
He can't keep it inside.
Yeah, no. So, see, I understand. You say it's terrible, but I totally get it.
So it's that. And
I mean, I'm going to put myself in the David Lee Roth camp, because I'm younger than you, or I'm older than you.
That's
what I grew up with, so I'm very much alike. Running
fair,
with the Devil and Dance the Night Away is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, very nice, very nice. I'm a Fair Warning is probably still up there.
Of course. Warning is one of those albums where it's just like people go, oh yeah, and then there's Fair Warning. And you don't think about it and then you realize, but that album is fucking great.
I'm finding myself revisiting all of my joyful 13-year-old favorites. I've been really pissing everybody off at work at a different bar by playing way too much Metallica.
Which era Metallica? I lived in San Francisco for a long time, so that was
my
like
Metallica
the
joy stops at the Black Album.
Okay.
But
think that's actually a good stop.
Ride the Lightning era Metallica is great.
Ride the Lightning is so amazing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that video, the YouTube video of the house that Christmas lights?
What?
To Oh, actually, it's Slayer. Sorry, I branched
Slayer
out.
Also, I'm a huge, but it's an old metalhead and
you know,
prog rock.
Rain
and
of
all
Blood.
That,
yeah. They, you know, they do their house to it. Go Google it. It's
That's
amazing.
The best.
They
the best.
They synchronize the lights to that song.
Yeah, I have a guilty pleasure of Rumpelmann's shots because, but only because a long time ago I got to hang out with Slayer backstage and Kerry King
what?
Was like, "You got to drink this shot, man. Let's have a shot." And I was like, "Okay, what is it?" He's like, "Rumpelmann's. It's great." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, it's terrible." And it was awful, but it's, you know, if you're sitting
you
in a room with like
Slayer.
A 200 black candles and Kerry King handing you like Rumpelmann's, you're going
to
drink it.
We need to rewind a minute. How the fuck did that happen?
friends of friends and like weird new metal bands that ended up touring with Slayer and got to
and they
hang
were
out
like,
with those guys.
"We'll get you backstage."
Yeah. "You got to come hang out. You got to come hang out with Slayer. They're great."
And you were all, "Oh, okay. Yeah."
I was 100% cool for that.
That.
Yeah. I'm up for an adventure.
So you said you're punk rock, but all we talked about is metal.
Oh yeah. Well, so,
and the Clash.
Yeah. Which, yeah. Well, you know, I'm into some good, you know, 90s era punk, mm-hmm. California, you know, like you said, Southern California,
California
punk.
I'm a California kid, so yeah.
So I had all the
all the Blink and the,
well, even before that, what, like Pennywise and,
yeah.
And,
God, it was like Pennywise and Bucko Nine.
NoFX and all
yeah.
that jazz.
Mm-hmm. All the Fat Mike stuff
on
Fat Records.
Fat and Skinny Mike, that's okay. I'll take either way, Mike.
And then, all the mics.
And then, yeah. And then a bunch of dumb New York hardcore, and then that leads,
which dumb New York
leads
hardcore?
To metal. A lot of silly youth crew stuff like Youth of the Day and Gorilla Biscuits and
Gorilla Biscuits.
All that jazz. Sick
so
of it all.
I don't know how often you get to California. I don't think you do. But there's Donut Friend, Mark Trombino from Drive Like Jehu and all that. He has a little donut shop called Donut
I've
Friend.
Heard of this, yeah.
Mostly vegan, everything, but you make your own donut, and they have a lot on the menu. But they have a Gorilla Biscuits donut.
I like many of the Trombino
bands
as well.
Totally.
But it's
and
just a giant family. You're always like, "Oh yeah, of course, that's got that guy."
Again,
in it.
I'm from San Diego, so yeah. It was kind of like you knew one, you knew them all.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like Jehu, Rocket from the Crypt,
Rocket
all those.
From the Crypt. That, so. And so at Donut Friend, Chocolate from the Crypt.
Of course.
Drive Like Jelly.
I love pun names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw a shout out to my friend Ben that does this bar. In Nashville called 308. I knew that I was going to like it the first time. It was a great cocktail bar, by the way, but the first time I went in, their whole menu was like a riff on this like band Refused. Did this cover called The Shape of Punk to Come, and the menu was a riff, and it was The Shape of Drunk to Come, and all the titles of drinks were like late 90s post-hardcore band songs and stuff,
right?
And I was like, this is it. This guy's cool.
Yeah,
we're
theirs
friends.
All like punk bands just turned into donut names.
Excellent.
Right? So have you had any pun fun at your tiki bar at SOS?
Not tons of pun fun. There are definitely...
your brain is starting to
spin a little bit. There are definitely names of drinks that get shot down because they're tasteless.
The PC thing bums me out.
Way too many of those. Yeah. But luckily I... proclaim my displeasure with that so loudly that friends bars will usually take those names.
Nice.
So I'm good with that.
Nice. Yeah. So you're able to pass the puns along.
Oh, I pass terrible joke names around.
Is there a favorite that you can tell us because it's not on your menu set?
I can tell you it's gonna sound
totally
even worse
offensive.
Than if you were to see it.
All right, then we won't.
Let's
do that.
Not. Yeah.
Let's keep your reputation intact.
Well,
I know you
secure.
Have to catch a plane and everything, so we should probably wrap this up. But thank you so much for stopping in. And how should people learn about SOS? Is there an Instagram? Is there a Facebook? Is the website? You want to give me all that info?
Sure. At SOS Tiki Bar.
At SOS Tiki Bar is the Instagram.
Is the Instagram. Mm-hmm. SOSTiki.com.
Pretty
and,
easy.
And just type in SOS Atlanta and anything you want to type it
Google.
Into.
There you go.
Say it to your phone. It's always listening to you.
I know.
Conspiracy theorists. Let's
I
do it.
I know. I'm going to have to start calling you like... Foxy Ian or something.
It's always happening.
That
yeah.
all comes up and I'm like, my X-Files thing just turns right on.
There you go. It's all happening.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat with us about it. I'm going to be listening to The Clash like for the next week. I DJed in punk rock bars for like a long time.
Perfect.
I can no longer listen to the Ramones or the Buzzcocks because of it.
Oh, so much Ramones.
So much Ramones. So much Buzzcocks.
But what's better in a bar than hearing the Ramones?
I never tire of The Clash though.
Everybody taps a foot.
Oh!
Everybody taps.
Dead on bump.
Yeah,
and on that note, we'll leave with a dad joke. Thank you very much, Ian.
Thanks
I appreciate
a bunch.
It. Oh, it's got what it takes. So tell me, why can't this be?
Big ups to Ian Jones over at SOS Tiki Bar. And if you're ever in Atlanta, make sure that you pop by and get some of that escapism for yourself. Also, go check out his Spotify playlist. It's right there on the episode. If you're looking at it on the Music and Booze page on Facebook or on Podomatic, you'll see the link to it right there, because it's a pretty good one. And yeah, thanks so much, Ian. It's always a good time. And I do love the dad jokes. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.